Hello and thanks for tuning in. For Municipal World, I'm Sean Meyer. This is the MW Shares podcast, where we share the stories of communities from coast to coast to coast. These are the stories of local government, the celebrations of success, the sharing of lessons learned, the cautionary tales, and the keen insights into what lies ahead for municipalities. Thank you for joining us for this special episode of MW Shares, sponsored by Zoho Canada. Our guest today is Chandrasekhar, LSP. Chandrasekhar is Managing Director of Zoho Canada, holds a master's degree in information systems and applications, and is committed to creating and spreading awareness of Zoho. He cut his teeth in the software domain with the web NMS division of Zoho and has journeyed with the company at its crucial pivot points. Today, we will be discussing how municipalities will learn to manage digital transformation challenges and the opportunities that they have as they work with AI and other technologies to deliver services. For municipal leaders, the challenge isn't whether to adopt AI, it's how to do so in a way that builds trust, improves service, and reflects public values. Welcome, Chandrasekhar. How are you today?
Doing very well, thank you. And thank you for having me on the show.
Definitely my pleasure. So let's get into it. How can generative AI tools enhance, not replace, the work of public servants?
Well, you get me in the very first question. One of the most contentious topic, and we have seen the world go from one end to the other. But, you know, before trying to make it specific to the public sector or the municipalities and so on, Sean, I want to think about what's going on in general with AI, the hype that is surrounding it. We saw not long ago a company that laid off 700 of its customer support people saying that we are replacing it with AI, only to hire them back a year later. These tall statements are becoming very expensive and very unrealistic exercises, sure, even in the private sector. While on one hand, there is this topic of how it can take away jobs, the reality is the cost is keeping up because not one AI company to date has been profitable. They are burning money and they're not going to do this forever. At some point, it's going to catch up. The practicality of AI being able to replace humans also has to come in with the balance of what does it cost. You're looking at technology companies now buying nuclear power plants. It's enormous in terms of just thinking about this whole technology that's kind of ushered in a hype that is unrealistic. So I'll start with that. That's the perspective. You know, it's too much of hype surrounding how AI is going to replace jobs, only to kind of find even in the private sector, these are just tall statements and there is no merit to it at this time. 2.5 years since ChatGPT came up, this is the reality, right? Now, let's look at what it is doing, though. It has changed the way we at work can be productive. Interestingly, we have seen a lot of digital transformation happening in public sectors in the recent years. As the digital transformation and digital adoption is increasing, you also have this new technology that they have to adopt and embrace. And what's happening is it's giving them massive productivity gains. That is the biggest gain that every organization today is realizing is how it enhances productivity. For example, let's take a simple scenario. I say this based on my own interactions with municipal leaders and some municipalities that we are engaging with as to how they can make citizen access services more simple. There is so much of content. There are so many tickets. There are so many requests that are coming in. What do we prioritize? That is a big challenge. Today, AI is kind of coming in very contextually, looking at a ticket, automatically analyze the sentiment or the urgency associated with it and ensuring that that get prioritized. So there are very beautiful ways in which AI is helping municipalities and any business per se. And while we talk about AI, there is this whole aspect where people talk about generative AI. As a technology company, we look at AI as an ecosystem. There has been AI forever, and I would assume that every public sector, every government organization probably has been using AI for forecasting, prediction, anomaly detection for decades. It's nothing new. What's happening is what was kind of contextually baked in into applications to help you analyze what's going on, it's kind of coming to the next tier where you and I or anybody in the municipality now can access and create content and organize and aggregate information in a very systematic way that makes them more productive. And then the next tier comes through where you're talking about agentic AI, where a lot more automation can happen. Overall, what AI is doing is it is not making the decisions. It is helping you make decisions faster and more effectively. I think that is the aspect one has to take in and not look at this as something that is going to come and disrupt, because every new technology comes in with this promise, only for us to kind of realize that, wait, there are other factors that need to come in.
So what are some examples of AI uses that exist in local government?
So fascinating. I mean, I almost touched on it already. Things mm-hmm. like Citizens Portal. I see how citizens can interact with the government more effectively or the public sector more effectively. Let's say getting yourself a pet license, or kind of raising a complaint about a pothole in the street that's been unattended or a loose hanging cable. These should be prioritized in a certain way based on the request. All of these are essentially a ticket that comes into the system. Which one do I prioritize first? So this is where I think AI can help municipalities and the cities to kind of effectively address the concerns of the citizens. That is, this is more on what I call the customer-facing side. A customer of a service from the city, I have something that I need to access. So I call this the front-facing AI. And then there is the operations AI, which is scanning all the documents and trying to assess a risk of a vendor or risk of a particular policy and so on and so forth. That's where there's a landmine. I think today, a lot more AI is applied on the back-end side, helping organizations to be more streamlined in their workflows. And that is how it is helping. And I don't see municipalities being any different. In fact, a lot of studies in other countries such as UK, they have seen tremendous amount of productivity gains where people are basically gaining as much as 25 to 30 minutes a week. So by the end of the year, they're looking at about 2 weeks of work that is saved. So again, it's going to be very contextual. It is going to be interesting in the sense, I also, in a very recent conference at a MISA conference earlier in May, I was in the city of Banff, and then they talked about how they're using AI to manage traffic, because remember, it has a seasonal traffic. It's a big tourist mm-hmm. destination. As to how they manage their traffic lights, how they manage their streets during peak traffic, peak season, and so on and so forth, using systems and automation and AI based on, what can it be for a weekend in summer mm-hmm. that has a festival? How do I manage this? How do these systems interwork? And they're making decisions and managing the city itself using very interesting tools and technologies and that are AI infused, by the way.
So the public sector is, by its nature, fairly risk averse. How can governments balance that with the need for innovation?
There can't be any compromise. As a company that's always been very sensitive about privacy and security, I won't say that this is just important for municipalities. This is for every business. They have to safeguard, and they cannot make any compromise on giving away their information to train AI systems and somebody else walking away with the benefits. Because at the end of the day, data is the lifeblood of AI. If you're giving away information, and if you do not put guardrails and security and the firewalls around it, I think it is going to devolve into something very perverse in my point of view, simply mm-hmm. because it's too much that's being given away. So governments and municipalities and private businesses cannot compromise. So when they are looking at AI, they have to first think about use cases wherein they think the information that we send or that is exchanged is not a compromise from a data sovereignty perspective or data residency perspective and so on. As long as it's some let's say, analyzing a policy that's public on a government website, let's say a CRA website or a Stats Canada website, it's public information. If you want to give that out to an LLM that's not hosted in the country and you want to kind of get a summary of it, that's fine. On the other hand, if you are giving some information, images of all the land that you have for new business parks to come up, and you send it outside, now you're getting into gray zone because you're sharing information about your municipality, the lat longs and everything to a system that's going to then know, oh, there is something planned. Over time, these systems are known. Okay, all these municipalities always give me information or images of site plans and stuff. So obviously there is something coming up there. They're going to be able to predict over time that there is some development coming up. So do you really want this to go outside the scope of people who should know? So that's where I think leaders have to think of use cases and understand where they can send out information and where they need to firewall it, and then come up with frameworks. And there are frameworks that are emerging. Obviously, this is something that's kind of caught all of us off guard in terms of, you know, previously we were worried about being tracked on browsers, but now just about anything and everything you put out there is up for grabs. And people are, I mean, organizations and these mighty, you know, behemoths are burning money to get that data from you. That's the arms race that's on right now. So I would completely say that governments cannot, or public sector cannot, have compromise. And I think there are use cases that they have to think about. And then there is no rush to apply AI because you think it can have an outcome. We have to clearly identify the risks, balance it, and then come up with the use case that makes sense.
That does make a lot of sense. So speaking of fear and skepticism, how can municipalities overcome resistance from their own staff who might be fearful of what AI might mean to their own careers?
Sean, I think for the first time in history, I would say that AI is a technology where businesses and organizations are having no trouble making people adopt it. The problem has become, even for us, even for a private company, the challenge is ensuring that people are following procedures and protocols, and we are not able to come up with the procedures and protocols fast enough because everybody is AI native today. Who is not using ChatGPT? If you are working in a municipality, there is no way that you're not using Gemini or ChatGPT. You are using it. For the first time, you are not, as an IT shop or as an organization, you're not trying to come up with a strategy saying, okay, what's the strategy? What's the change management I need to do to have Sean or LSP adopt ChatGPT or adopt AI? No, it's gone. Or co-pilots. That's gone. Yeah. I mean, that fetters have been broken. It's more like, okay, how do I safeguard this? So I think that's the challenge. How would organizations, or I would say this time around, it's the leadership who is at the receiving end of this technology, trying to understand, okay, how do I put my hands around it and ensure that my people have access to this technology, and at the same time, there is no violation of what would otherwise be perceived or actually be a risk by exposing data and so on and so forth.
Makes sense. So what should municipalities look for in an AI platform or service provider?
It's anybody who can help them and come up and help them with the frameworks, or come up with this whole idea baked in that your data belongs to you, that we are not going to use your data to train our systems. And any data that has been used by them, by the vendor, to train their systems has actually been licensed by the vendor, because there is talks of plagiarism. Because Okay, as a technology vendor, that's what we are doing. We are taking this stance, maybe a shameless plug, but then I think this is the awareness that we are trying to create, saying even the way we are using data to train our AI models is something that we license. And anybody using our AI is not giving away their data. We firewall it. What it learns in the context of, let's say, the city of Markham in terms of how they do their business is very specific to them. We are not taking that learning and putting it into the city of Brampton or the city of Cornwall, because everybody has their own flow. Almost like everybody has a different set of things going on. And we are not learning from that system ourselves, and we are not pushing our AI models to others. We train it on open data. We train it on data that we license. Then the instantiation happens on your account, and what it learns there is firewalled. Now, data residency. Are you working with vendors who have data centers in Canada, storing your data in Canada, and no part of that flow or data flow is taking the data out of the Canadian jurisdiction or the Canadian data centers? So I think these are all things. I think a lot of IT leadership is aware of it, but then this whole construct, the extra mile, is how are we using the data that we learn? How are we using the data that they put into our system? And what are we doing in terms of being ethical about sourcing the data to even train the model to begin with? Because right now, if you look down south, the biggest question is people want access and ability to scrape anything and everything. That's a discussion. That's what's happening. Now, thankfully, Canada has always been on the safer side. I would even go on to say they err on the side of being safe, I think, which is fascinating. Because I remember back when I used to use Facebook, I am no longer on those assets, but back in the days, Facebook used to have specific privacy policies just because of Canada. What they would roll out in US would not happen in Canada because we always have safeguarded. So I think it's a discipline, making sure that how their data is going to be used and how ethical is the company or the vendor that they're working with to understand how are they creating their AI models?
That's an important question. So why is there so much buzz about AI agents these days?
I think it is basically, it's the evolution where we went from systems that already had, like I talked about the AI ecosystem, you had systems where a lot of this is kind of, you don't even think about it. It's AI there. It's almost like you never thought about HTTP. You don't think about it. You access the website, right? So AI has been there in certain systems like that. And now you have co-pilots, that's where there's a human in the loop thing. And then agentic is taking AI where it can potentially create an agent where there is a human in the loop, or you can probably even eliminate human in the loop. And what's happening about agentic AI is, it is, if I may, taking the planning aspect, let's say a workflow, for example.
Sure.
All of a sudden, the system starts having a memory of how it did this in June 2025, and then July 2025, and then it is updating itself as to how it has to execute in July 2026. So you're now looking at a system that's learning, and trying to unlearn as well and make decisions for you. And it's not staying within a single system. It's now able to connect, let's say, your finance system with your project management system and go across these two systems to make a decision. So think of that from a municipality perspective.
Sure.
A finance agent can basically say that's doing project accounting, can take information from the project management system, take the data from the finance system, do the correlation, and then come up with, okay, here's what is happening for these set of roadwork projects, these set of housing projects, this parking project that we have, and give you what's going on without having to have a human in the loop. Now, does it eliminate? I think it just brings in an additional level of productivity, but the decision-making itself, I think, needs to come back to a human. It's just that it helps you in the process of making it faster. Again, this is just evolution. And I at this point, of all the AIs, I think I am more suspect of agentic because, again, there's too much hype around it.
Right.
It needs to be specific use cases, specific outcomes that we have to track. And we are seeing some. For example, one thing that we are doing with a pretty large customer is a sales coaching agent. It's listening into all the calls, transcribing it, and then identifying what is happening to an interaction that LSP as a sales agent is having with customers versus how is Sean having it. And based on historical performance of these two, okay, Sean has a better outcome with a certain range of companies versus LSP doing well in a certain, let's say, a real estate vertical. So it can really able, it can identify all these things and say, okay, the technique that LSP is using to approach the real estate market for this product and service is working. So what is he doing? So you have that history. So you can take that and then create this coaching for the real estate vertical. On the other hand, an enterprise business comes in, there's something that Sean does that's magic. So what is his playbook? So we are now trying to, you know, working on such agents. So trying to understand how business is working and then optimizing it for better processes to be put in place.
I mean, that's what all municipalities should be striving for. So I think you've given them a lot to think about. So I really do appreciate you coming on and sharing a talk about obviously a subject that a lot of people are talking about in the municipal space and globally for that matter. So thank you again for coming on.
Thank you very much, Sean, for having me on the call. Appreciate it.
We'd like to hear your ideas. If you have a topic that you would like to see covered in a future episode, simply drop us an email at stories@municipalworld.com. Also, don't forget to share and subscribe.